that we were listening to and listening for your Spirit. That when the Spirit says go right, that we go right. And when the Spirit says go left, we go left. And when the Spirit says wait, we wait. When the Spirit says run, we sprint. That God, we would be listening. We would be listening for that quiet, still voice. That would be trying to get through to us to answer all of the questions that we have about our life, about our future, about hope, about, Lord, all of the issues that are before us, whatever those issues are. That God, what we just sang, God, I look to you, would be actually happening. That we wouldn't be looking to a song on the radio or an inspirational quote on social media or something somebody says that may or may not even believe in you. But we would look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. God, you don't just start it, you finish it. You know the end from the beginning. And every moment in between, you are our God. So we thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, you may be seated. Amen. So I mentioned the Hyde family. They're not feeling well. I know Jason is getting over the COVID that he got from Liz, because she's a sharer, and there, you love him so much, you just like, bless you, yes, have my COVID, bless you. I hope my wife doesn't love me that much. Amen. I'm sure there are others that I'm unaware of that are sick. I will say, James Moody, James and Lauren. Lauren just got baptized a few weeks ago. James's grandmother passed away this week, so please keep him and his family in prayers. You know, I'm going to start with the title of this message, because I love the title of this message so much. Anything but prayer. And you can say that different ways, and it can mean different things. Because some of us, that's the way we sometimes have felt. Anything but prayer. Pastor can call me to do anything but prayer. I don't want to have to pray out loud in front of anybody. He can call me to mop the floors and sweep the floors and clean the windows. Just don't call me to pray. That's not what this means, but it's just one of the ways I looked at how you could read that simple line. Anything but prayer. We're in Mark chapter 9 this morning. Verse 16 is our opening verse. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? This is Jesus asking the disciples, what are you discussing with them? And I know and I believe that eventually the opening and everything is going to make sense, even though it may not at first. But that is just the way the Lord works, that all, quite often things don't make sense until he's done doing whatever it is he's doing. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, I am so ever aware today of your presence in our midst. And Lord, I know the week I've had, and if I've had that week, who knows what kind of week others have had. So I thank you that you are our comfort, and that we can come into this place and be comforted by your Holy Spirit. And I thank you that you are our defender and our protector. And I thank you, Lord, that you are my strong tower. And I thank you, God, that you've given us Jesus as the cornerstone, and that we stand on a firm foundation. God, I thank you that whenever things around feel shaky, I can stand on the rock. Oh my God, I'm ever aware of your presence. I'm ever aware of your Spirit. I'm ever aware, God, that you are with us. And Father, I ask, Lord, that this word today would be a timely word for your people in this place, or even whenever they hear it, if they listen to it online, that their eyes and ears and hearts and minds would have the anointing to be opened and ready to receive this word, as it is your word, your anointed word, your blessed word, your powerful word that is sharp. Oh, Lord God, that it is alive and will be alive in us. And Father, I ask for anointing to be able to deliver this message and to speak your word with all of the power that I am able to. God, that I would be completely out of your way and allow your Spirit and your word to do its work. Thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I? Is it okay if I confess something to you? Some of you my age and younger, some of you even are more aware because of reruns, that you'll be somewhat familiar with this phrase that was from my childhood, and a show that I watched when I was a child. Because when I read that opening verse, when he said, "What are you discussing with them?" I have to admit to you that I heard a line from Different Strokes from the 80s that was, "What you talking about, Willis?" Right? I heard that from that show. If you don't know what that is, Google it. You'll see later. And that's kind of, that was immediately what I heard when I saw that Jesus asked them what they were discussing. Because that was, I don't know why it was, but that's what I heard. Some of you are familiar with it, and you know what I'm talking about. So let's look at verses 17 and 18, and we'll see kind of what they were talking about. Because they answer him, one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And then, just then, when I read that description of what happens to the boy that is battling with this spirit, immediately I saw a kid in the cereal aisle. That's just what I saw when I read it. Just laid out in the floor, throwing a fit over whatever cereal it was that they wanted. That was probably full of sugar and completely unhealthy, but it's the one that they wanted. But I see this father has brought his son who's battling with this demon, because any time that we have one of our children who is battling something, whether it's illness or whether it's anger or frustration or whatever it is, that we as a parent struggle because our kid's struggling. It affects us when we watch them struggle. It just does. And you can't help it, because we want to fix it, because we're their parent and that's what we feel like we're supposed to do. We're supposed to take them to the doctor, get the medicine that they need, and make them healthy again. That's what we're supposed to do as parents. We take on all of that responsibility. And if it's a an emotional thing or any other kind of thing, we feel so much the same way. And we will pay unknown amounts of money to try to get our child better. Like, we will do almost anything to make our child better. So I see that this father has brought his son to the disciples because he thought this was the way to go, and what would the ones that would be able to help his son. And so when Jesus walks up, that's what they're discussing when Jesus walked up. Is the father's there looking at the disciples going, I thought you could do this. I thought you said that you had the power from Jesus, that Jesus had anointed you and called you and blessed you and given you this power to cast out these demons. I thought if I brought them to the man of God, I thought if I did this, that it would all be fixed, that it would all be better. And so often some of us have even gotten frustrated when we did bring our child or our issue to the quote-unquote man of God or the church or to, you know, we started listening to the sermons online. We started finding podcasts and all these things, and we got frustrated because it didn't get better. Because we thought this is what you're supposed to do to make it better. Because Pastor so-and-so from so-and-so church in so-and-so town that I've never been to, don't know personally, but I've heard that they have all the wisdom of God, and if I listen to their messages, or if I read their books, if I buy their magazines and subscribe to their podcasts and watch their YouTube channel and all of these things, that they are going to magically fix everything. I'm going to buy all of why can I not think of the money guru? The Christian money gurus. Dave Ramsey. I'm going to buy all of Dave Ramsey's materials. And I'm going to read it all. It's going to fix all my money problems. I'm going to read The Strong-Willed Child. I believe, is that Dobson? James Dobson, Strong-Willed Child? Is that right? I'm going to read that, and that's going to fix all of my problems dealing with my strong-willed children. And I'm going to do all of these things. It's going to fix everything. That's what this dad did. Like, I'm trying so hard to find everything out there that's going to fix this. And when it didn't, he's now mad at the disciples. I thought you said you could do this. I heard, everybody told me, you're the people to come see. It's going to fix all this. You're the ones that's good. You got the magic formula, the magic potion, the magic words. And it's going to all be fixed. And your disciples, I brought them to cast it out, and they could not do it. And some of us have been angry with God because it's not fixed. Because my kids still have problems. Thank you, Aurora, for clapping. It's not fixed. I'm angry because my life is still chaotic, and my life is still this way, and my finances aren't better, and my job's not better. My boss is still terrible, and I thought if I did all of these things and read all these things and did all this stuff, that it was just going to be better. And I know I've done exactly what this man did and thought, this is what's going to fix it all. This is it. You've heard me tell you when I talk about the building that we are in the process of, long as we close on the other property, and the building we want to build right next here to here, right? The building we want to build right here. You've heard me tell you, if you've sat in any of our meetings, this is not the magic pill that's going to fix everything about the way Hosanna Church is, as far as being able to attract and draw people and become the church we know we believe we're called to be. It's not the magic pill that's going to fix everything. I believe it's going to help, and I believe it's a step in the right direction. But if we look at it as a magic pill, my concern is we're going to build a new building and not grow and be looking. You're going to be looking at me going, Pastor, I thought you said this was going to fix it. Pastor's telling you this is not going to fix it. If we don't continue to be a loving, serving, giving, growing church, it will not fix a thing. It'll just be a new building, just as empty. If we don't do those things, it's not going to fix the thing. Because you can't just look at one aspect of a problem and think if you address that single aspect or go to that one single source, it's going to fix everything. Verses 19 and 20. And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I put up with you? It says, bring him to me. They brought the boy, and when he saw him immediately, the spirit threw him into convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. Here the dad goes again. See? Brought him to Jesus and still didn't fix it. He's doing the same thing he's been doing. Because he thought, immediately, it's going to get better. Very few things immediately get better. You go to the doctor because you have an issue, he's going to prescribe you some kind of medication. And you're going to leave there and think you're going to leave there walking out better. That's not how that works. Have you even taken the medication yet? Well, no, but he gave the prescription. Okay, well, see if ingesting that helps. Just wad that paper up and swallow it and see if that's not going to help. You need to get the medicine, take the medicine, give medicine a chance to work, right? It doesn't happen immediately. It's just not the way things work 99% of the time. You have to take the medicine and you have to give it a chance to work. And I see Jesus says, bring the boy to me. Bring him here. Bring him here. And I see the Father bringing the Son to the disciples. And I see the Son throwing himself on the floor, convulsing, and doing the same thing again, right? Some of us, as a parent, maybe some of you were there this morning, just trying to get up to church, and they're throwing themselves on the floor, and they're having a fit, and they're rolling around, and they just think, we're never going to get to church. I just want to get them to Jesus. I just want to get them to church so that they have a chance to hear the gospel and hear and be affected by the Lord, to be affected by the Spirit, to feel His presence and to feel all of that. Some of us have had those issues just trying to get to church. And we think, if I just get to church, it's all going to be fixed. And then you leave church and your kids are the same as they leave as they were when they got there. Getting them there is a big part of the battle. But getting them to church and getting them to Jesus are not always the same. Because you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? Heard that old saying? Now, I'm not saying don't bring him to church. Bring him to church. Because they got a better chance of hearing it here than they do a lot of other places. Your little blessings just falling on the ground. Your little blessings just kicking and screaming and yelling. Saying who knows what. Maybe it wasn't your kids. Maybe it was, I know this has probably only happened to me ever, okay? It's probably not happened to any of you guys. Because I'm sure you've never argued with your spouse on your way to church. Ever. None of you have ever done that. I know it's just Tammy and I who have had a disagreement on our way to church. I know. Driving too fast, driving too slow, stopping too fast, stopping too slow, following too close, following, why aren't you hurrying up? We got to get there. What, the kids, what, how, what do we? Maybe it was just you. Maybe you were just fighting with yourself to get to church. Maybe it was your car, right, where you had car problems on your way to church. Oh, you want to get me going. Yeah, give me a car problem trying to get to church. Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was your checkbook, something got messed up. Maybe it was fear, anxiety that you struggle with, but you had the hardest time just getting to church because you're dealing with those issues. Whatever it was, there's a spirit behind it. There's some kind of a spiritual battle. I think too often we underestimate the spiritual battles that are happening around us and that we may be in the midst of. And we have fought for a long time before we finally start to think, maybe there's a spiritual aspect to the problem that I'm having right now. Because we're so focused on the fact that my wife didn't tell me that she needed gas in her car before we started driving to church. And we're praying we're going to make it to the gas station before we run out of gas trying to get to church. That's never happened to anybody. And we're so focused on the gas and the fact that she didn't tell us and communication and all these other things, we forget that there might be a spiritual aspect to this issue. Too often, we're way too far into the problem before we start to think that there might actually be a spiritual basis or a spiritual thing that's happening here. Way too far into the problem. We have to get better at recognizing that there's a spirit there. And I'm not a guy that's going to try to name all the different spirits, and I'm not somebody who's going to tell you it's the spirit of this or spirit of that. I'm probably not spiritual enough for that. But I am going to tell you that I believe that there are spiritual forces all around us that we are so ignorant to. We are so oblivious to the fact that those spirits are around us. And we allow them to affect us in ways that we don't even see or realize or give any attention to until it's way, way, way too late. Until you don't even want to look at your children because you're so frustrated with them. You don't even want to think about going to work the next day because you're so frustrated with your boss. You don't even want to think about seeing that coworker. You don't want to think about seeing that professor or that student that you're in class with. You don't even want to think about those things. And there's a spirit there, and you don't even realize it. And 27. Before I read that, I'm skipping over some parts here that I'm going to encourage you to go back and read the full of the story, because there's a moment where the Father looks at Jesus and says, if you can do anything, do it. And doesn't even realize the lack of faith that he's speaking. Some of us, that's permeated our prayers because we're so unsure that he can fix it.
that we've started to pray, God, if you can do anything, if you can fix, please do. Because Jesus says, if I can, we forgot. We forget. And it happens in the midst of problems, and it happens in the midst of stress and anxiety. It happens in the midst of fear, and it happens in the midst of uncertainty, and it happens in the midst of trials, and it happens in the midst of crisis, that we say, God, if you can do anything, do it. And he says, if I can? Like, almost absurdly, like, when I hear it in my mind, I think to myself, Lord, help me every time I have ever said that. Because if I ever say, if you can, Lord, I honestly wish he would just, like, spiritually slap me a little bit, because it is the least faith thing you can speak. If you can. Really? If I can? You know my dad created everything, right? And you know that my mom was a virgin when I was born, right? You know that? And you know that I walked on water? You know that? And you know that I heal the sick, that I make the blind see and the deaf hear and the mute speak? And you know that nothing that has been created was created without me. Like, I was there the whole time, right? With my dad. I was right there with my dad the whole time. And there's nothing that he's done that I haven't seen him do or had a part in him doing. If I can. If I can. So verses 26 and 27. Says, after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. Don't speak death over something that Jesus hasn't given his hand to yet. Don't speak death over something that Jesus, that you've not put in Jesus' hand yet. Don't say, it's dead, it's done, it's over with. That job, it's over. My finances, they're done. Bankruptcy's coming. Don't say my kids, they're hopeless, they're lost. Don't start speaking death over something that you've not even put in his hands. Don't speak death over something that he's not even taken a hold of yet, because there's life in his hands. There's life in his breath. There's life in his words. There's life in his power and his presence. Yet you're so focused on if he can that you're already calling it dead. You're already saying it's never going to happen. You're already saying, well, that's finished. That's over with. That's done. Move on to the next chapter. Let's start looking at the next thing. And Jesus is still reaching his hand out to help with that thing. But you're saying, oh, it's done. It's done, God, it's done. Now, some of you have heard me tell the story about when we were in Perkins, actually before we were in Perkins, when the funeral home moved in and helped the church out and remodeled it and all that stuff. And brother Dick Anderson... the Sunday that after he found out that the funeral home was going in there, and he told me, he said, you heard about the Perkins Church? And I said, yeah. He said, well, it's been dead a long time. You know, it's just finally, it's a funeral home. And I'll never forget that. It was like he was pronouncing death over something that God had yet to finish helping yet. And I know it wasn't easy, and I walked through so much of it, and I'm grateful to have walked through it. But I just know that people are so quick to speak death over things that God's not even started to help yet. Not even started yet. And yet there are things that you think are dead. But if a doctor came in and had a stethoscope, there's still a heartbeat. There's still a pulse. It might be weak. It might be minimal. It might be faint. It might be hard to hear. It might just be barely beating. But I know that it's still there. And I know that Jesus can bring life to dead things. And I know that Jesus restores. And I know that Jesus resurrects. And I know that Jesus heals. And I know that He saves. And I know that He still moves, because He is still alive and still active and still powerful and still strong, and nothing has changed for Him. Your situation may be dark, but He's still the same. My Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He's fixed things in the past that He can still fix today. And I see this moment. I see this dad, and I see all the pain and all the fear and all the anguish. And then I see Jesus reaching out His hand, and the boy standing. And then I see the disciples. Verse 28. When He came into the house, the disciples began questioning Him privately. Why could we not drive it out? You know what they're saying? We tried everything. We tried everything. We anointed Him with oil. We did everything we could. We used Your name. We said, in the name of Jesus, come out, demon. We bound it. We loosed it. We did all of these things. We did everything that You taught us to do, Jesus. Everything that You taught us to do, we did. But we couldn't drive it out. We tried. What I hear in this is, why isn't what I've been doing working? Why isn't this that I've been trying to do helping the situation? Why isn't the discipline I've been trying to pour out on my kids helping? Why isn't the money I've been trying to save, why isn't it helping? I'm changing the way, I've tried to change the way I'm doing certain things, and why isn't it helping? We tried everything. We couldn't drive it out. We tried everything. And then I get to the last verse. Verse 29. And He said, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Church, I tell you that we have completely underestimated the power and the importance and the significance of prayer way too many times in our situations. If they couldn't drive out the demon, if they couldn't do it with authority, and they couldn't do it with all of the things that Jesus had taught them to use by speaking the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, this is going to change. And they've tried all these things, and these are all valuable and important and significant tools for us to use. The name Jesus should be spoken over problems. The name Jesus is powerful, and it should be used. I'm not trying to belittle or downgrade the name of Jesus and the power within it. But Jesus himself said, this kind cannot come out by anything but prayer. Anything but prayer. They said, I tried everything. I tried everything the book told me I should do. I tried everything You taught me to do, Jesus. Everything You said. Every ounce of authority You gave me when You sent us out. Everything You taught me in all of the time that we were with You, traveling from city to city and town to town. We tried everything we knew. And Jesus says, yeah, but did you try prayer? Did you try prayer? I'll be forever grateful for that moment. I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, and that moment in that meeting where Sister Barbara said, have we prayed about this? Because that was a moment, there was a part of me that said, anything but prayer. It's a moment that will forever stand out to me. Because it was simple, but yet it was profound and it was powerful. And I want you to know today that if you've tried everything, there's still things that to try. There's still something to try. And I believe that my Bible says that where two or more are gathered together, there I will be. And I'm not saying your personal individual prayers aren't powerful. They are. They are. They're significant. They need to happen. They should happen. But there's something even more powerful when the body of believers come together and pray. There's something even more powerful when we come into agreement, where there's two of us, three of us, four of us, however many are there and willing to pray about a situation, that there's something that happens when the body is united together and we're praying. Because maybe there's something that I'm praying that you hadn't thought of praying yet. Maybe there's something you're praying that I haven't thought of praying about yet in a specific way. That there's something that happens powerfully when we're corporately joined together in that prayer about that certain thing. And I wonder if maybe that's not something that we shouldn't spend a little more time focusing on and thinking about. I know we have our Tuesday prayer meeting at noon, and man, I could not be more grateful for anybody and everybody that shows up at noon to pray on Tuesdays at noon. More than excited and love every minute of it. But if that's the only time we're praying, then man, we are really, really hurting for prayer. Prayer is not a ritualistic thing. It's the opportunity for us to communicate with our one true God. And that can happen with you in your vehicle. It can happen with you in your closet. It can happen with you in the shower. And it can happen with you wherever you are. You can pray. If you're driving, just keep your eyes open. Amen. Everybody else on the road would appreciate it if you were praying and driving, if your eyes were fully open. Because your eyes can be open and you can pray. You can stand and pray and kneel and pray and lay down and pray and work and pray and study and pray. There's nothing you can do that you can't pray while you're doing it. Prayer is just communication with your God. That's it. It's simple yet powerful. But I wonder how many of us have been fighting an issue and just now you realized you've been doing everything you could. Because deep down inside, in the inner part of you that you don't want other people to know, you question whether it's even effective or powerful or important. Because when you hear somebody say, I'm going to pray about that, you instantly think they're never going to think about that again. They're not going to pray about that. They're just saying that because it's the nice Christian thing to say. Oh, well, I'll pray for you. But you don't really believe that they will. And so you've done everything. You're doing everything but prayer. I'm going to ask Timmy to find a song. In fact, I haven't sang this in forever. Hear My Prayer. Do you remember that? That's an old one. Right? Because as we close, sister, will you come here, please? Look at that. I'm so proud of you. You did. I'm starting to develop a prayer team for the church. People that will come and will pray over the people that need prayer. And it will be eventually incorporated into our time of worship in time. And if I've not spoken to you about it yet, don't think that it doesn't mean that I don't think you can pray. But it's been something I've had on my heart for Sister Frieda for a minute. And I know that there are things I don't know that some of you are facing. There are job things, there are financial things, there are family things, there are school things, there are things that I don't know anything about. And I'm not asking you to reveal those things. And if you come forward today and you ask for prayer, if you take that step, that powerful step, that terrifying step, to come forward and just say, I need prayer, you can make that request as generic as you want. And I want you to know that if you come pray with Frieda, it's never going to leave Frieda. That Frieda's job isn't to come tell me what she prayed with you about. But her job is to keep it between her and the Lord and you. If you want to come pray with me, I will pray with you. If you say, Pastor, I want as many people praying for me as I can, then we'll gather around you and we'll pray. And again, make it as generic as you want to, or as you need to. But if something today has been speaking to you, and you realize now that you've been doing everything that you thought you should do or could do, except for pray, and you would take that step today to come and say, I've got to have more people than me praying about this. And I have got to become faithful in my prayer. And I have got to put all of this in Jesus' hands. And I'm not going to speak death over this thing before I have allowed Him to put His hand upon it and to do something that I know He can. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to open up the altar. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to just do everything I can, but beg you to not allow your pride to get in the way of coming forward for prayer. Before I pray, I want you to know, part of my motivation for this message, you know we're looking at building a church. You know that I have 19 million decisions to make. And I'm going to tell you that Friday, I didn't want to make a single one of them because they all weighed on me so heavily. And I started to even question whether this was even going to be possible for us to do this thing. And it was a battle that I had to fight Friday. And I fought it pretty much all day. And I read this scripture Friday night preparing for this message. And that's why I named it Anything But Prayer. Because that was the only thing I could do Friday to try to change the attitude and the position of my heart. To remove the doubts and the fears. To stop thinking about everything I knew and everything I didn't know. And my fears of dealing with the city and my fears of contractors and costs and price and skyrocketing this and skyrocketing that and permits and all. I had to just get to that place where I didn't say anything in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you. And I thank you, God, that you are powerful and strong. And I thank you, God, that you have been here in our midst. And that, Lord, if I know that if we will take the step of faith to bring our need before you, no matter how dead that thing appears to us, and we will allow you to give it your hand. And we will lift up our prayer. That somewhere in the middle of that, you will move. And you will work. And you will bless. And you will do what only you and our prayers can do. If we'll stop saying, if you can. And say, God, I'm asking you to do it right now. Knowing that it may not change today, but that change is coming. And that if we will be fervent and effectual in our prayers, we will receive all that we're asking for. Because you can, and we believe you will. Father, as we place it in your hands, God, I pray for the courage of anyone who wishes to come forward, who says, Pastor, I need that prayer. I need that prayer over my finances, over my children, over my family, over my school, my professor, my coworker, boss, whatever. Give them the courage to step forward. That they could leave here knowing and believing. Giving your hand to it, and life is coming. Father, I thank you. For those of anyone that needs to leave, Lord, bless them, keep them, let your face shine on them. Know they are blessed and not cursed, and they are amazingly loved. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Who is it? Anybody that needs prayer? Anybody that needs prayer over their family? Anybody that needs prayer over their finances, over their school, over their boss, over their situation, over their fear and anxiety, over any aspect of their life that they know they have been speaking death. But Jesus wants to speak life over anybody, anyone at all.